We're invited to experience God's word this morning as recorded in the letter of Hebrews. I'll be reading from Hebrews 6, verses 9 through 12. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things. Things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. May God bless the reading of this holy, inspired word. You have been in the church for quite a while, haven't you? I think all of you, even the little ones here, have been in the church for quite a while. And you've heard over and over and over about the faith of Abraham. Joe was preaching on the faith of Abraham a few weeks ago in Freeman. He had been going through the life of Abraham, and he mentioned it again, and I just kind of went through my mind, how many times have I heard that? And how important it is to the covenant to Israel, which we've been talking about, but not only that, but the covenant that is new to Israel. Remember, Jeremiah's covenant was a new one to Israel. And the church rides in on the coattails of that covenant. And because of the faith of Abraham, because remember, not all Israel is Abraham's seed. You and I have that same faith. And so we are of the faith of Abraham. We are of the seed, the spiritual seed of Abraham. What is the difference between faith and hope? You know, when we begin to talk about those two things, we almost talk about them as they're the same thing, but they're not the same. I begin to think about the hope as Joe read through the scriptures. There's the faith, and then there's the hope. We find in Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction, faith is the conviction of things not seen. Faith is assurance. Faith is concrete. Faith is, there's a God. God is concrete. His word is concrete. His authority is concrete. And the covenant that he made is concrete. His commandments are concrete. God, you are on your throne. We believe you are there. We believe what you said. We believe what you are saying, so we have faith. But what do we hope for? What's the hope? You see, Abraham believed in God. In fact, if you think about what God said to him, God didn't say anything about Abraham being in heaven. God didn't say anything about your seed, your son someday, your lead, your seed down the line will die on the cross for your sin someday. There's no record of that. I think over time he understood it, but there was a covenant that God made with him. And what is it said about Abraham? Abraham believed God. and it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, I want you to think about this. Put it in perspective. His dad was an idol worshiper. He's probably built and sold idols. He was a pretty big man in his town, probably. And the Lord said, leave your dad and go, and I'm going to give you something. And Abraham believed God. And because of that, he was saved. Faith is the concrete foundation of your life. You say, I believe in God the Father. I believe in His Son. I believe in His Word. You're saved. It's as simple as that. There are several things that reveal your faith. Your acts, your speech, your love for one another, and what you hope for as we begin to get God's worldview or biblical worldview, as we begin to believe those things and act out and talk like that, that reveals our faith. But our faith is as simple as I believe God. I don't understand it all. Abraham didn't understand it all. Jacob putting his head on a rock out in the middle of nowhere, saying this is God's house, didn't understand it all. He didn't get it, but he believed. Abraham believed. And that's what it took to be saved. Hope is the tangible things. They're tangible things that you can either see or imagine are going to happen. You can list them down. You can put them down. They are the single promises to Israel, to the church, and to you as an individual. The hope, you can make a list of your hopes. God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire, each one of you, to show the same earnestness, to have full assurance. What's the full assurance? That's faith. I have full assurance in God. Full assurance in what He said. But what He has said is listed the hope. Listed those things that you can hope in. You have full assurance, faith, in the hope that are listed until the end. Now think about until the end. That means there's a time span. What we want to do is jump ahead. I'm in heaven. That's the thing I hope for. That's the final hurrah. That's it. We walk in the door and we're saved. Is that all you hope for? Well, now wait a minute. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's all there is and that's it. I mean, that's a little thing. No. But what I'm saying is there's a lot more between here and then. The word until means there's a period between now and the time that you step into heaven's door. I hope for all of you it's in the rapture or a long period of time after. I mean, in your life is what I'm saying. A long lifespan. But there are things to hope for between now and heaven's gate. So that you may not be sluggish. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this sermon because I think you're sluggish. You just looked at last week. Look at this church. Look at your faith and your love in each other. And that's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because of the signs of the times that we are in. And to establish, okay, what are we hoping for? What are we doing in your personal life, in your homes, and in this church going forward? Be imitators of those who through faith, the concrete and patient, inherit the pet promises, the hope, the promises, plural, the list of things that God has for you and your family here and now and in heaven. And we're going to talk about some of those things. Hope is different than faith. Because you have faith, you can now have hope in what those things are that God promises you. Don't you feel sometimes that God is dragging you along? I mean, if we're not, I'm going to be frank, if we're not reading our scriptures, if we're not in tune with what God is doing in my personal life, what he has promised in my personal life, what has he promised me? And we say, oh, wait a minute, yeah, I don't see those things listed in scriptures. No, but he has a list of things he wants you to do, a life that he wants you to carry out. Those things are listed, and to be honest with you, I think we can know those to a point. And so, if we're not reading scripture, if we're not in tune with the Lord and praying with him, and walking in the Spirit, then what we can feel sometimes is like, God, you're just dragging me along until heaven's gate. Okay, and you know, let's think about this. My faith in heaven is huge. I mean, I know there's a heaven out there. The Holy Spirit has put that within my heart, and I know that. But see, here's my problem. My problem is I look in the mirror and I know myself. I know my shortcomings. I know what I can't do. I know what I don't feel like doing. I don't have the energy to do. And so what happens is, I go, what's going to happen between now and then? I believe in heaven. That seems sometimes to be the easy part. But do you hope in the things that the Lord can do through you and with you as an individual right now? Answer that question. Right now. Or is he saying, just get on the track, you're on your own, until I get you there. I'll get you there. But I got nothing for you now. That's not the God I know. And that's not the God that shows up in Scripture. Hope at the end, yes. Hope now, yes. I hope you do. He's giving you glimpses now. I want to ask you this question this morning. I can see your faith meter. You show up every Sunday, all the things that we do. I know your faith. I hear it. I want to ask you this question. How's your hope meter? I'm not talking about heaven. Only, how's your hope meter for what God wants to do with you and through you now? We're going to be talking about through 1 Peter when I return. But I want you to begin to think about Peter's letter, who it was to. It was to the exiles. That's not a good word. Whenever somebody's exiled, means they're thrown out of their land, or they leave because things aren't good. And he's writing to the exiles who've been thrown out of their land. And you and I are sojourners on this earth. That's the first thing we have to realize and understand. Think about this. This is not your home. You're just a passing through. And so if this is not your home, what are you hoping for? Because we all want a home. But there's some other things to think about hope on the way. I think about David when he was exiled, when Saul was chasing him, and he's in the desert hiding. What was he hoping for? Heaven? The Lord had promised David promises. The Lord had promised Abraham promises. And it had some things to do with heaven, but a whole lot to do with family and nations and work and a name. A name. So let's go through Abraham's life a little bit and see exactly what hope looks like or should look like. Abraham's hope. Number one, in Genesis 12:2, the Lord told him, I will make you a great nation. That has nothing to do with heaven. That indirectly, very, very indirectly, yes. But his first promise was, I'm going to give you a great nation. Now I want you to think about him, because he lived with his dad and he had a home, and then he says, go from your land and your family. I'm going to make you a great nation. So Abraham believed God. There's the faith. He's saved. And now, in hope, he can say, well, I have a wonderful kid here, and I have a wonderful dad, and I have a wonderful family, and everything's good. All my bills are paid. But I'm going to leave this, and I'm going to go. Because his hope was not there. His hope was in what was laying ahead of him. So because of his faith in God, faith in the Word, the Lord lists a hope for him, and now, okay, I can go in hopes that I will see that nation, in hopes that I will see that land. And Hebrews says he never saw it. He still never saw it. He saw a little glimpse of it. But he never saw this come true. But he had great hope that it would, so he left his dad. Second, I will bless you. I will bless you. So, because of that, you remember when he saved Lot. Well, actually, he took Lot with him. So he's helping Lot. He's sustaining Lot. He's giving to Lot. He's giving to those servants. Remember, there was over 300 servants that helped him beat those kings. Remember? The king of Elam and the three other kings that were with him. He was helping them, giving to them. When he got done with saving Lot, you remember, he saved Lot. What did he do for Melchizedek? He gave to him. And so what this is saying is, I will bless you. You will be a blessing. He was generous to others. So he had hope in the fact that God's going to take care of me so I can be a blessing to others. Now I want to talk about our gifts. I know there's one gift that the Corinthians talks about in other places. Talks about the gift of giving. Some people have the gift of giving. And those people have that, they know for a fact that the Lord is sustaining me and I can just give. That's their gift. They can just give. But I want to talk about your other gifts. You say that I have the gift of teaching, you have the service, whatever it is, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, whatever it is. You have that gift. The Lord manifests himself through you through the Holy Spirit. You say, I can do this. The Lord said he would give me this gift, and I can bless others with it because he's going to continue to sustain me in my life and in my work for him through this. I can do it. That's hope. You haven't done it yet. You haven't given your time, your energy, your whatever it is yet. But in knowing that gift and knowing that promise, you can say, I can do the work of the Lord because I have this hope based on a promise. I will make your name great. You know what Abram means? His first little name, Abram, means father. Now, I think about, whenever I think that, I'm just telling you what goes through my mind. I immediately go to Noah. You go, how do you make that connection? Well, here we got Noah. He's out in the middle of nowhere. There's not a lake around. And he's building a boat. I know Bill Cosby's going through some, you know, he's got some issues, but he had a tape going on, and he would talk about this, and he'd say, the neighbors around going, you've lost your mind. He's out there building, what are you building? An ark. You know, well, what's an ark? What do you use it for? To float? Why? It's never rained. And so Noah is building this ark. Abram means father. He didn't have a child. He didn't have a child until he was over 75 years old. And he's named Father. Then the Lord changed his name to the Father of many. Can you imagine the neighbors? I mean, they should just get it. What's your name? Father. Father of who? Nobody. You have any children? Not a one. 75 years old. What's your name, Father? Father who? Well, Ishmael. Wild man. Okay. Well, guess what? The Lord just changed my name to what? Abraham. What's that? Father of many? How many kids you got? One.
You're out of your mind. What kind of God do you have?
In the hope,
he didn't walk around saying, you see, my son, Chet, he loves the name Luke. I don't know why. He walks around and says, what's your name?
Luke.
My name's Luke.
I don't like the name Chance. I remember my mom said I should have named you Randy.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we don't like our names.
Abraham's walking around. What's your name?
Abram.
What's your name?
Abraham.
Boy, you're arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
No. I have faith, and I have hope.
Genesis 12:3. Here's another hope. I will curse those who curse you. Now, we can take this kind of arrogantly and go, wow, Lord, you just go after them. Just, we're praying the songs, Go after those. Go after my enemy. Destroy them. And that's not how this is. Abraham's looking and saying, okay, anybody who's against me is against my God. And so I can rise up and do the things that the Lord wants me to do. This doesn't mean that he says, I think I'll be mayor, I think I'll be president, I think I'll be king, lord it over everybody, and carry a big stick. That's not what this is. He can walk out in faith, he can walk out in life and go, I'm in the Lord, in the Lord's army. And anybody who's against me and that, in that, is against God. I think of Abimelech. He didn't know who he was messing with. He had to be careful. I will curse those who curse you. What's the next one? 13:14. I will give you this land. It goes back to that whole thing. With Lot, think about Lot. I love this. Think about the faith that Abraham had. He turned to his nephew, who he should have been lording it over, and said to Lot, hey, take which way you want. Take any pick. You pick. You want to go that way? You want to go that way? You did. Because he had absolute assurance in God's absolute sovereignty that whatever happened, that land was going to be Abraham's. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. It was going to happen. And so Abraham could just in faith go along with what was happening around him with those people who were deciding. You think the decisions are coming against me? No. They're going right in the favor of the Lord. I want you to think about what's happening in the United States right now. In the world right now. They don't look to be going our way. And so what are we going to do? We're going to put our hope in President Trump. I hope he'll do what he says he's going to do. I hope more than that, that the Lord will use him. But if Hillary gets in there, do we lose our hope? I guess I'm just kind of showing my cards right now. Do we lose hope? No, I look at the scriptures and I go, Lord, I see, I read the end, and it's not going to be good for any nation. Any nation. Zero nations. Even Israel is going to go through hell to get them to heaven. I will give you this land. You will die in old age. So at whatever age, he goes out there and battles those kings or whatever he's doing, he can say, see, the Lord has appointed me this task. I go out here not in arrogance, but I know that the Lord has a work for me. Paul said the same thing. He said, I want to go to heaven, but it is better that I stay. And he knew in his heart that he had a work. He was that close to the Lord, and he knew he had a work to do in God. You see, the based on these promises that are not yours, they're not mine. These are directly to Abraham. And because of these, he can act in faith, hoping that these will come true because he knows they're going to come true. He just hasn't seen it yet. But he knows it. Now, can you bet? You can bet that sometimes he is scared. He's afraid. We can see that in some of his actions. No child. Sarah says, hey, take this woman. Now,
scared of Sarah or scared of having no kids. And so he takes this woman, Hagar, and has Ishmael. And so he acted wrongly there. Can you think about his hope, Sarah's hope meter, when they're 75 and 100 years old? Their hope meter's like, And so they're going through some of this stuff. Can you think about the day that he had to send Ishmael away? Even after Jacob was born, he's sending his first son away. I don't know about you, but any father with his first son is going to be a very difficult situation to go through. Can you imagine raising your knife over Isaac? And knowing, okay, Lord, based on my faith and based on my hope, please help my hope. And the Lord told him specifically, it's in Isaac, it is your promise. So he can raise his knife, knowing that there's a resurrection or whatever's going to happen. He raised his knife. Can you imagine when the Lord told him in 15:13, Genesis 15:13, it wasn't the year. In Genesis 15:13, he told him, oh, by the way, Israel's going to be in captivity, slaves, for 400 years. Wait a minute. Wait, that's not what you said. We're going to rule over the nation. We're going to be a great nation. We're going to be on top, and everything's going to be grand. Well, there's a caveat. You got to go through some hot water to get there. Hasn't he promised that for you and me? Hot water, affliction, adversity. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see the hope there? The faith in what he said, the hope that Jesus has overcome the world, we're going to see it someday. That's our hope. So Abraham went out of the land he knew, away from the father he knew. He defeated kings. He was unafraid of death. Well, I think he feared sometimes, but he was unafraid. He was unafraid of loss and failure because he hoped in what lay ahead. He hoped in specific promises that God had given him. Remember, it's probably easier to hope for heaven than it is to hope to get through the next problem that we have. So if I was to ask you how your faith meter is, I can see it. You're here on a Sunday morning. You're there at Bible school. You're here year, week after week, year after year. I can see your faith. I wonder what your hope meter looks like. I want to show you a glimpse of the hope of this church. I want to show you how hope works because we saw it. Now, there's, I think, 21 people there. There's a little girl in there. Is that Grace? Grace is in there right behind Don. Yeah. And there's like, I think, 6 people missing here. Roger and LaDon and Betty and Lori and the Larsons. And did I miss anybody? Who?
Gills.
The Gills? Are they? I thought they were there. Okay. The Gills are gone too. So, I mean, this is the biggest group I've ever seen in the VBS. I mean, if the kids never showed up, this is awesome. This is pretty cool. Why did these people show up? Why did you show up? Why did you give? Why did you put the boxes out there and give money and give all that stuff? Did you see the stuff that came in and kept coming in? Why? Oh, yeah, you know, because it's the thing that we do. We had 85 kids come through here that you and I believe, hope in their future. The hope is, Lord, we don't have kids in this church. I don't know why. That's just the way it is. We just had 85 kids come through here. We had 200 kids come through Hallelujah Fest last year. We have kids. You just don't have to put up with them every day or every week. Your in what is going to come about in the kingdom. This is, I hope this is hope. And then, hey, Lord, what do you have for me? This is my gift. I'm going to do this. And I want what you want out of it. And if there's something for me, I want it. Let's not be too pious and say, Lord, you know, take your reward. And remember the king in Isaiah? Isaiah 7? The Lord comes to the king and says, ask whatever you will, and I'm going to give it. That's what he says to his son. You ask whatever you will. That's what Jesus said to you. Ask for this mountain to be removed. Ask in faith. So you want whatever he wants for you. You want your reward. You want what he has for you. And we don't have to say specific or even know specific, but you just say, Lord, I want what you have for me. But by the way, I want what you want for these kids. I want what you want for this church. I want what you want for this group of people who are hoping in you. Hoping. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 for a second. This is the end of faith. Think about this. It's the chapter of faith. It has about 16, Hebrews 11 has about 16 names in there, and it talks about the group of Israel having faith. It talks about a whole bunch of faith going on. But when you read in there, and we get down to this specific area, it's talking about hope. Now, so go through this with me. This is through faith. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms. Now, what does that have to do with heaven? They didn't get to heaven. They conquered a kingdom. They're going to heaven. What else did they do? They enforced justice. They obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the power of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, because mighty in war, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and clothes, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in the deserts and mountains and in dens and caves and the earth. Why? Because they had hope. They had hope. Now, some of them, you can see that they had hope in eternal life. There are many of them. They had hope in eternal life. But others of them were made, they were weak, and they needed to be strong. They were mighty in war. They quenched the power of fire. They stopped the mouth of, they're doing these things because God gave them an adversity and a problem to work through and live through and overcome. And overcome. I want to ask you a question. Can you have hope without adversity? If we're not facing something, there's no need for hope. Let's just use the easy one. I know that I'm going to die someday. I know that I'm a sinner. And so, do I have hope in the eternal life? Yes. Because of the word. I believe and I have hope in the eternal life. I have hope. So if I die, that's my hope. But when you face some kind of adversity in your life that doesn't lead to death right now, do you hope? So in other words, my child is sick. My child is going through divorce. I broke my leg today. I don't feel good. I can't get up and minister. I can't. There's things I can't get done. I don't have any money. I'm in need right now. Or somebody needs something and I don't have anything to give them. Except prayer. So we come and we sit before the Lord and say, Lord, I have nothing to give. Silver and gold have I none. But on behalf of these people, I come to you. Why are you doing that? In hope that God will help them. In hope that you will see God's hand move. See, whatever adversity is, step back from your pain. Step back from your situation and look at it and say, Lord, what do you have for me now? What do you want me to hope in right now? Well, yes, heaven at the end of the day. Yes. But right now, what do you want me to hope for these people? What do you want us to hope for this church? What do you have for me, for us, right now? This is not, see, this is where the prosperity doctrine has it over us just a little bit. Because they realize these promises. They realize this is real. But they have a tendency to go after the promises and the gift and not the giver. But we have to realize God has something for us and me and you right now. And you say, well, you keep saying you and me. And when I read these scriptures, I don't see anything specifically saying, Rand Solberg in the year 2000, whatever it is, well, we'll do this, we can do this, this is going to happen, you're going to be father, whatever. I don't see my name in there. I don't see your name. Let me say something. When we are submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ and in Him daily fellowship, when we are reading through this, Hebrews, this wonderful book, Hebrews says, these things were written as examples for us. So I'm going to ask you a question. What does the Lord have for you? I mean, can you listen? You may even get some wrong. I will say, I'll just use an example. I was 16 years old. I went to Bible camp. I came back and I sat in the pew at 16 years old, as ignorant and stupid as you can be. One of those dysfunctional families, you probably, you know, would submit something else. But I'm just saying, I was just as dumb as a rock. I felt within my soul that I needed to pray, I would preach someday. And I went through 45 years of not doing it. 45 years. I always hoped it would happen. But that's something significant for me. And there's other little things. I had two back operations, and I keep hoping, Lord, I can't stand up here for a half hour, 40 minutes with that. If you don't help me, I'm telling you, I can't. And I overweight, need to lose weight, need to help, and you got to help me do this. And those are little things that for me, I have to hope in so that I can continue to do what I hope for. And you can go to God in faith and say, Lord, I want to do this. I think you promised me this. I want to help this person. I want to help this group. I want to do this. Please help me hope in it. And when you have that faith in talking to your Heavenly Father and saying that whatever you ask in my name, it will be done. You, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much more will He give you good things? He will. Because you're not asking on their behalf so much as you are asking on the behalf of you and your Father's relationship, you and the church, you and somebody else. And you can step out. And if it doesn't come about, if something's going haywire, it's because the Lord has something you don't understand or that you have to work through. And we can hope in that. He's not just our God. He is our Father. And He knows best. I want us to begin to hope when you're watching the news. I want you to begin to hope, no matter what the elections happen. Don't be surprised. The Bible says, against all hope, Abraham hoped. Against all hope. And we're against it. And so hope in the Lord. And know that we're going to be a light and a shining in a very dark place, a shining light in a very dark place as we hope in what God's going to do through you as an individual, us as a church, until that day. Lord, we look for the day that you come. We look for the day that you take us. We can't wait to step through that door. And yet, Lord God, here we have a generation gap in our church. I mean, almost everybody's over 50. We have a few holdouts. Bless their souls. Lord, against all hope, do we have hope in seeing something happen in this church? Or do we have, are we going to hold out through a great apostasy? Or what do we get to see? Maybe a stormy sea. Maybe you calming it. We don't know. But we know this. You are on a mission. You are a commander of the armies of the Lord. And we are in that army. And we look forward to what you're going to do in this church, in this community. But I am asking that you will open the eyes and the ears of everyone here to just give them a glimpse of what they are going to have and get to go through here and now. Understanding that it may be adversity because, and so, we can have hope. We pray in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 1, 9 through 10. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Amen.